The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to hour number three, live right here on this Tuesday on the early line on Sports Grid. He is Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens. Tonight in the Lone Star State, it's the Midsummer Classic in Major League Baseball. The 2024 All-Star Game is tonight in Arlington at Globe Life Field, the home of the Texas Rangers. The American League will be the home team. They host the National League as an ever-so-slight favorite and a total of 7.5. We will have plenty of breakdowns for MLB's All-Star Game coming your way in this third and final hour up until 11 a.m. Eastern Time. A quadruple header in the WNBA with two more games tomorrow. It's the final 2 days of the regular season in the WDRS for quite some time. All-Star Weekend in Phoenix, Arizona this upcoming Saturday. It's Team USA versus Team WNBA before we get to the Olympic break as well. Two more days of WNBA games until we return from the Olympic break in pretty much a month. That's August 15th. So a lot to get to here in this third and final hour.
Yeah, I tell you what the shame of it really is that the Olympics are coming up at this time for the WNBA because they have a lot of momentum going forward where the summer months here is, yes, we're watching Major League Baseball. There's nothing really else going on. The anticipation of football season to disappear for a month and then try to reappear right as football season is beginning. I'm going to be interesting to seeing how much of those, you know, eyeballs are still going to stay with the WNBA after losing all of that momentum. But it will be an interesting weekend overall, nonetheless, with the WNBA heading into the All-Star break and having the compelling, like, Team USA versus Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese. I think it's a fantastic angle they're going to play out, and we won't hear any WNBA talk for quite some time. So interesting here. Not their fault, just when the Olympics come up at this point. Right. But all that momentum, I think if you would go back to the beginning of the season and they would know how it was sort of turning out, they would have probably hoped that, you know what, I wish we didn't have to send anybody to the Olympics and just keep this WNBA season rolling along.
Because when you think about that momentum and the movement that we saw, really capitalizing on that moment in the WNBA from the end of the women's NCAA tournament with Iowa versus LSU and Iowa versus UConn and Iowa versus South Carolina in that national championship game, it led right into the WNBA draft, right into W preseason training camp, and of course, what we have seen here in the regular season with so much attention, so many record-setting not only performances but attendance, audience, viewership. How does that cool down into the Olympics, where I would expect a ton of attention paid on Team USA? We'll preview the quadruple header in the WNBA on this Tuesday evening and even afternoon with camp day in a couple of spots around the W as well. But of course, tonight, the Midsummer Classic, the 2024 MLB All-Star Game in Arlington. Are you more excited for the All-Star Game, or were you more excited about 24 hours ago for the Home Run Derby? That was the question in Fade the Public. As at SportsGrid on Twitter. Which event do you enjoy more, the Home Run Derby or the MLB All-Star Game? Maybe nobody really enjoying all that much because we didn't have that much voter turnout for this Fade the Public poll, but still think it's a really good question. Home Run Derby winning the day right now at more than 58% of the vote. I'll be very candid, though. I voted for the All-Star Game. What say you, Donnie Right Side?
Yeah, I did vote for the All-Star Game, so technically we are fading the public at this point, but the excitement is an interesting word to use for the All-Star break, and quite frankly, any All-Star game anymore. Now, growing up as a kid myself, obviously social media not being around in the 1980s, the All-Star games from all four sports were very big business. Why, Ben? We didn't get to see these guys on a day-to-day basis. It's like unbelievable. Yeah. Like as a National League city with Philadelphia, we never saw the American League players come to town. So when you get to see them play against the National League, it was really big business. And quite frankly, again, you weren't watching every team. It was very rare snippets where you're seeing a team like the Oakland Athletics and like the coolest thing all time, the Bash Brothers, where can I see them? They never played in Philadelphia. Now every team rolls through, so it loses that luster. Same thing with the Home Run Derby. So if I am looking at an event that I do enjoy more, I think the Major League Baseball All-Star Game is the best version in sports of an All-Star Game. Yeah. Because it's closest to its truest form. And there is an appreciation for that. But having said that as well, if you told me that the All-Star Game is going away next year, I would applaud that and have no break in the season and just keep doing business because I think it's outdated. Yeah, if you want to have All-Stars, that's fine. Have a banquet at the end of the season and recognize them all in some award show out at the Sphere in Las Vegas. That'll be just fine. We don't need an All-Star break for an All-Star Game anymore. It's definitely outdated. But the question is asked, and I do still think the All-Star Game does hold its weight there amongst the other All-Star Games, so that's the way I voted.
I think it's a fair point, DRS. The immediacy of what we know on a night-in, night-out basis in these regular seasons around these professional leagues, we get everything to our phones, to our computers immediately. It is not the nostalgia of the 80s of seeing that guy on a highlight but never actually watching him in a full game. It was a tour around the country. Not really the case anymore. But the reason I voted for the All-Star Game, much like you, it's the closest thing to the actual sport that we see. The NHL is 3-on-3 in a round-robin tournament. The NBA All-Star Game looks nothing like the sport that we see on a nightly basis. It's not even the Pro Bowl anymore. It's the Pro Bowl games in the National Football League. So I do think there is nostalgia for the MLB All-Star Game. Is it great? No. Have they tried to incentivize it in years past? Yes, don't forget, not all that long ago, the result of the MLB All-Star Game was incredibly important as it would dictate who had a home field advantage in the World Series. Even saying that now just kind of sounds ludicrous. At the time, it was kind of exciting, but now it's a little bit insane. But still, it's the best and the brightest going up against each other. And one of the things I love about it, Donnie, is that we're going to see Paul Skenes get the start tonight. He's going to throw against Aaron Judge and Juan Soto and Gunnar Henderson. And because Paul Skenes is not worried about going 6, 7, 8 innings or what his pitch count looks like, you're going to see him top 100 on probably every single pitch. It is his best versus the best in baseball on the other side. And that should draw the attention that it deserves.
Exactly. And the reason why we talk about so many times like the Pro Bowl and the NFL just going away, and it finally did, because the players didn't want to play in anymore. They didn't want to tackle. It was no semblance of football. I doubt Paul Skenes is going to take the mound today, Ben, and throw 65-mile-an-hour fastballs right down the middle because he doesn't feel like being out there, or it's a game and they just want to see if anybody can hit a home run the farthest distance. So there is an appreciation for that. It's when we talk about in the NBA, like, hey, I'll shut this All-Star game down if you guys don't play defense. You're like, yeah, good luck with that. We're not going to play any defense. So live with it here. So there is some enjoyment to a baseball game because you are going to get to see one-on-one, right? Superstar pitcher versus superstar hitter. And there is some fun to that. But again, just the luster of the All-Star game certainly is worn off. I don't know if it ever comes back. And by the way, I did like Major League Baseball saying, you know what? Let's try to make it mean something here. And the execution was flawed, and it turned out that the players didn't want it, neither did the fans, as it went away, which rightfully so it should have. But I did applaud their efforts by saying, this is really going in a different direction where nobody cares anymore of this. Let's put some effort behind it. So at least they tried something. It didn't work out. Now they're just back to the old form where pitcher's going to get a couple batters, hitter's going to get maybe a plate or two appearances. You just enjoy it for the actual gala that it is, as opposed to like something athletic on the field that's going to determine, again, World Series home field advantage, which is crazy to think about.
And the All-Star game kind of started this cool trend in baseball and other professional sports for the fielders that – or maybe not doing something athletic each and every time a pitch is thrown, that you have them mic'd up in game action. And if a ball comes their way, it makes for great theater. We showed you the All-Star Game odds. We'll continue our breakdown of the Midsummer Classic later in this final hour. But 7.5 is the total. 13 of the last 17 MLB All-Star Games have stayed under. 7 of the last 10 have featured 7 runs or less. 7.5, that number tonight. Just something to pay attention to. We didn't see a lot of home runs yesterday. The roof closed, the air conditioning up to make it an enjoyable viewing experience for the fans in Arlington. Probably the way that I'm leaning as of this moment. 4 games of WNBA action on this Tuesday. Some during the afternoon hours in one marquee matchup between the two best teams in the W. We'll preview it all up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
4 games today in the WNBA as they take center stage. Time to break it all down here on the early line, SiriusXM Channel 159, and we are ready to go. It's Donnie and Ben. Now, we did talk about this, which I think is interesting. Yeah. The All-Star Game is this weekend. I think it's going to be a great All-Star Game and has a lot of storylines, which, again, around most All-Star Games, you don't get these. There might be a rivalry that we take a look at that starts to breed, and maybe Angel Reese not going to the Olympics and also Caitlin Clark can exact some revenge. But before we get there, there's a 4-game slate today, Ben, which does include an 11:30 a.m. tip, which nobody is going to get upset with that. That's the Phoenix Mercury and the Washington Mystics. If we take a look at that game, which, again, we'll get to next because we don't go in order here. We just go with the Sun and the Liberty. So let's start there. A 3.5-point favorite here for the Liberty taking on the Sun, a 155 total. Out of sorts, out of order. We'll get to them all regardless if a game is played at 11:30. We'll get to that one later because there's a game at 7 o'clock that we'd rather talk about now, BSS. Let's hit it.
So the reason I'm cracking up, a little bit of a peek behind the scenes during our recent commercial break, our producer Joe Friso said, all right, Donnie, let's have you host this segment, bring us back in from break. And Donnie said, why are we going out of order in terms of the chronological nature of this 4-game slate on a Tuesday with a couple of camp day spots as we saw a week ago? So for all of that to play out as it did was fantastic. Oftentimes, though, DRS, you got to start with the most noteworthy game. And when you have a matchup between the top two teams in the WNBA for the second time in the last week, that's where you begin. The New York Liberty, best record in all of the WNBA, 20-4. But Connecticut, after a blowout victory over Phoenix over the weekend, 96-69, off to an 8-5 start. That ties the best in franchise history. These two teams faced off last week during camp day at Mohegan Sun. That was an 11 a.m. Eastern time tip. And the New York Liberty won by 3, 71-68. Defense always first for Connecticut. It's why the total is 155 and a hook. In that game, though, DeWanna Bonner, 7 threes made for Connecticut. Keep an eye on her three-point prop today, 1.5. 152 and a hook is that number as it continues to work its way down. The New York
BSS getting cut off here at this point. How about that? So all this WNBA talk, which good. And that leads us into the next game, which is the Chicago Sky and the Las Vegas Aces. Taking a look at this game at the FanDuel Sportsbook overnight, a 13.5-point favorite for the Aces, rounding into form, like we said, 9-1 in their past 10 games, and a total that's listed at 173. So we just previewed a game at 155. Now we're up to 173. The question in this game, probably not who's going to win, Aces or Sky, but do we get a new streak on the horizon here, Ben, for the Chicago Sky and Angel Reese?
I hate when I freeze in studio. Darn that Wi-Fi. My final point quickly about the Liberty and the Sun. Two previous matchups, both in Connecticut, on the road for New York. This, the first one in Brooklyn, has been won by New York in that race for the number one overall seed in the WNBA in the top spot atop the table. New York, by the way, -310 to be that one seed. Now to Las Vegas tonight. The Aces, of course, in the return of Chelsea Gray, victorious in 10 of the 11 11 games Gray has been out there. They have looked like the two-time reigning WNBA title winners. I don't expect that to stop tonight. I don't mind laying 13 against the Chicago Sky. Of course, the 15-game consecutive streak for Angel Reese coming to a close on Saturday against the New York Liberty. I think it's going to be tough sledding against the Las Vegas Aces as well. And if I was going to look for a double-double, it would be Asia Wilson. 13-point spread. Some of my favorite ways to approach Aces games this year, that is looking at a player performance double. Asia Wilson to get to 25 points, or Asia Wilson to record a double-double and a Vegas win. Just to highlight the point of how demanding and dominant Asia Wilson has been this year, minus 230 for Wilson to record a double-double and an Aces victory to score 25 and a Las Vegas win. That's minus 172. Listen, I don't really mind just laying 13 points with Las Vegas. I don't mind betting Asia Wilson to get to 30 points at plus 136. Her points prop 27.5. It's been hard to hold her back from getting into the upper 20s. That's how I would approach this nightcap of the four games we have in the WNBA.
Tuesday afternoon action here, 3:30 p.m. Eastern start. Storm and Sparks, so technically out there on the West Coast, a 12:30 tip, which is nice to see. A 162.5 total in this game between the Storm and the Sparks, but a heavy favorite here. Overnight at 9.5, that's now dropped to 8.5 live as a favorite for the Storm. Easy victory for the Storm today. Might be on the horizon here, BSS.
Yeah, I would say so. You feel for the Sparks. They had the promising rookie in Cam Brink and Rekia Jackson, who has been great. She was the fourth overall selection in the WNBA draft. But, of course, Cam Brink out for the remainder of this season. From a points prop perspective, don't mind looking at Rekia Jackson. Her points props used to be around 9.5, 10.5 with the elevated workload. It's now 12 and a hook. But if you're talking Seattle, you start with Jewel Lloyd. You go to Nneka Agumake against her former team in the LA Sparks. Don't mind laying the number with Seattle on the road. Early start in Southern California for camp day, 12:30 p.m. Pacific time.
And how about that? 11:30 a.m. action. Just in a matter of moments, it feels like here. The Mercury and the Mystics, favorite here. 5 points as a road favorite for the Phoenix Mercury and Brittany Griner squad. 169 as a total. Any effects here with this early start between the Mercury and the Mystics?
Got me last week. I said take the over of the Sun in the Liberty in the game in Connecticut, tipping at 11 a.m. Eastern time. The Mercury, one of the worst defenses in the WNBA, allowed Connecticut, a defense-first team, to score 96 over the weekend in that blowout. On camp day for Phoenix last week, they scored 100 in an early start out in the desert. Today's total, 169. Now, the Mystics, of course, the last winless team in the WNBA, off to an 0-12 start. But since that point, haven't been all that bad. 6-6. I expect this game to stay close to that number. But I'm going to look at a points prop. Kalia Copper for Phoenix. She has been lights out in the scoring department this year. 22.5 is her points prop. I would lean to the over, or maybe Kalia Copper in terms of her three-point number, 1.5, although the juice pretty substantial at minus 188. I expect that game to be close in the nation's capital. Maybe the Mystics +5 or a look at the money line for the underdog Washington side as well. Some updated WNBA season-long odds like MVP and Rookie of the Year. Up next, you're on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Just two more days of regular season action in the W before the All-Star and Olympic break comes our way beginning this weekend. Four games on this Tuesday, a doubleheader on Wednesday as well, and then on Saturday night in Phoenix, Arizona, that WNBA All-Star game between Team USA and the WNBA All-Stars. So we're past the midway point of a 40-game regular season, but at that nearly month-long break, let's reset where the markets were and where they are currently. Still a tale of two if you look at the two best prices to win the WNBA championship. The two-time reigning champs, that's Las Vegas, remain the favorites at plus 145, but after a shaky start to the season, they've moved back by nearly a half dollar. The Liberty, the best team in the WNBA with a 20-4 record, have seen their price shorten from plus 230 to plus 170. But the main thing that stands out, DRS, when you look at those six best prices from the preseason to now, before the year got underway, only two teams with a three-digit price, less than 10-1. Now five teams with a less than 10-1 number. Some more parity expected in that championship race in the WNBA, and I would have to agree.
No, it's good to see, too. Yes, and that's good for the game. You don't just want one team running away with, like, oh, what do you have to watch the rest of the season for? We talk about those upper echelon teams like the Aces and the Liberty, but also still fighting on the opposite echelon, those top eights here to get into it, the Fever, the Sky, and some good young talent there. So I like the way it is, but also plus 145 and plus 170, that's great. So we're certainly, again, on a collision course between the Liberty and the Aces to play each other in the WNBA Finals. Like what I see so far. And again, it'll be interesting to see that they take a month off where that momentum comes back, because so many times when you're finally playing good basketball, and I talk about that with the Aces as they open up the season with a lot of question marks, like, ooh, maybe it's a hangover, maybe they're not ready for this. They're certainly ready for it now, taking that month off. Bet you they wish they weren't taking any time off and could continue to roll.
The Aces, without their point guard in Chelsea Gray, got off to just a 6-6 start this year. More losses through that point than they had, or tied for the same amount of losses they had through the first 12 games through all 40 in the regular season a year ago. For a team that lost just a single game at home last year, they struggled a little bit early on in Las Vegas. But the Aces, the first two-time reigning back-to-back WNBA champs in the history of the league since the LA Sparks in the early 2000s. The Houston Comets won the first four WNBA titles from the league's inception in 1997 through the year 2000. The Aces try to become the first three-time repeat champion since that point in the late 90s into the early aughts. I think the best futures handicap I have ever had, after being spurned in many thought in terms of the WNBA MVP race a year ago, Asia Wilson, who won it two seasons prior in the WNBA, was telling you ahead of opening night, bet the number now while it's still plus money. It was even money, plus 100, maybe even plus 110 in the 48 hours prior to the WNBA season getting underway. Asia Wilson is now minus 3,000 as we approach that Olympic break.
Yeah, and I guess at this point, at minus 3,000, I don't even know if we're going to worry about, like, even injury if it crosses into the equation of a minus 3,000 price here for it to lay out. She's by far and away the best player in the WNBA, and also the chip on her shoulder from not getting it last year, and the voters understand that as well. It's a clear-cut favorite for Asia Wilson. Minus 3,000 sounds like a crazy price point at this point, but who is playing better than her? Absolutely nobody, and not even close in the WNBA right now.
Yeah, it's not close. Alyssa Thomas of the Connecticut Sun, somebody who can do it all, the most triple-doubles in the history of the WNBA, the only player that has more than five, and she's got double digits of the 38 triple-doubles in the history of the W. She's close, I guess, at 85-1 with a plus in front, but Asia Wilson is winning this award at minus 3,000. Is the debate done now for NBA Rookie of the Year? Probably not from the narrative perspective. The odds makers would tell you it is. Caitlin Clark of the Indiana Fever, minus 1050. Listen, Angel Reese is a historic performer. Angel Reese, in pretty much every other year in the history of the WNBA, wouldn't be the favorite to win Rookie of the Year. But Caitlin Clark is making history night in, night out as well. In my opinion, she has won the award already, and I believe the race is done.
And it is done. And the only way that Angel Reese was going to be able to catch Caitlin Clark or still be in that conversation for us was if that double-double streak continued here. We were live on the air on Saturday, and after that loss, that number jumped really high for Caitlin Clark because that was the avenue for success for Angel Reese. Now that's gone. It's Caitlin Clark's to win, and she'll win it.
Yeah, and Caitlin Clark, during camp day, despite a loss to Washington last week, putting up a historic stat line we had never seen in professional basketball, NBA or W included. All-Star Game Preview, next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
MLB All-Star Game on this Tuesday night in Arlington, Texas. It's the home of the Rangers. It's Globe Life Field for the Midsummer Classic in 2024. So again, let's look at what we have in terms of those odds. The American League, in terms of the updated numbers, live on the FanDuel Sportsbook, an ever-so-slight favorite at minus 118. The over-under stands at 7.5. We'll get to the trends in just a moment. But a small peculiarity, if you will, in terms of the numbers, the American League, the favorite, but the underdog, according to the run line, +1.5. If you want to take the 1.5, though, it's -205 in terms of that juice to lay the 1.5 runs, with the visiting team being the NL, it's +168.
Yeah, and it is an interesting way to bet it, but again, just shows you true coin flip here as we match up between the National League and the American League at that -118 +100 price clip there. And again, you brought up, what, 13 of the last 18 games here going under that 7.5. So for me, there's no real advantages. Like, because the one thing I always talk about, like betting in a vacuum, if I know the starting pitcher is going to be, I know what the lineup's going to be, at least that's going to be somewhat formidable over the first five innings. After one inning, you have no idea who's coming in the game, who's pitching, for how long, and what players are going to get those batting advantages. So good luck if you have a formula or a theory outside of, oh yeah, the American League wins every single year. Well, then maybe you just stick with that. But if we're handicapping a Major League Baseball game at the All-Star break, it's a tough scene, man. There's really not much to go off of.
Yeah, there are the trends, right? But how do those carry over year to year when the rosters are different, despite probably some familiar faces, although a ton of first-time All-Stars this year and a ton of them on the younger side, 27 years or younger. As we look at the lineups, do you think either one has the edge? The American League will lead off with Stephen Kwan, then Gunnar Henderson, Juan Soto, Aaron Judge, so on and so forth. The American League starter is Corbin Burns. On the other side for the National League, we got three fills in the starting lineup. Shohei Ohtani in the home run derby champ and Teoscar Hernandez. Multiple players for the Dodgers. And, of course, potentially the highlight and the biggest storyline entering the Midsummer Classic, the rookie starter for the NL. That's Pittsburgh's Paul Skeens.
Yeah, that's going to be the cool part about it. Like, that's why I think I like the All-Star game the most, is you get to see Skeens right out of the gate and well-deserving to be that starting pitcher, and people will hang on just to see him. Like, you know what? Let me catch the game. I'll see the starting lineups here, as opposed to just saying, like, game starts now. You actually want to see what Paul Skeens is going to do. So that I'm excited by. And also, at the FanDuel Sportsbook, that velocity of the first pitch over 101 at a +400 price, under 99 miles an hour at a -104 price, and a couple price points there in between. You know he is going to be absolutely amped up. And there's one thing that you understand. Ben, he's not throwing an off-speed pitch to start Stephen Kwan off. He is going to challenge him with a fastball, and I would bet that it's going to be at least 100 miles or above. I'm not doubting the again, 99 is an unbelievably fast fastball, but we're not betting under 99, are we? Who's out there doing that?
No, I don't think so. I would not take it today when Paul Skeens knows that he probably has at max two innings, maybe an inning and a third, inning and two thirds, that we hope to see him at least get through that cleanup spot for the American League. Paul Skeens versus Aaron Judge, that is going to be pure theater. A couple of trends to know, right? The American League last year going down to the NL despite being in an AL ballpark out in Seattle. It snapped a 9-game win streak for the American League. Is it a coincidence? Is it a trend? It's hard to bet against, I guess, from that perspective, for what we have seen. But a 9-game win streak for the AL coming to a close last year. 3-2 the final, though, in favor of the National League. 3 of the last 4 Midsummer Classics decided by just a lone run. So they've all been rather competitive, which makes for a fun atmosphere as well. And 7 of the last 10 have featured 7 runs or less, which leads to our total of 7 and a hook.
Yes, and that 7.5 is interesting because most people say, like, what, are you kidding me? 7.5 year exhibition game, unbelievable hitters. Yes, we understand that. But the focus is typically very good pitching beats very good hitting on a day-to-day basis. And also keep in mind, it's not as if, and again, Paul Skeens, as I was joking yesterday on the radio, just let him go 7 innings. Like, we would love that as a fan base. But obviously Pittsburgh wouldn't love that. Management would love that. And they would never do it because the design of the All-Star game is everybody wants to get in and participate. So the reason you bring that up is, Paul Skeens knows he's got 1 inning to pitch, Ben. So it's not as if, like, hey, kid, 103, 104 on the black on the outside, that's not going to sustain over 90 pitches. And he goes, yeah, I got 15 pitches. I can really let it rip. Same thing with the relievers coming in from the bullpen. What are they coming in for? Just to throw absolute heat and be filthy and be rested. That's the tough part because you see the 7.5 and go, I don't understand. These hitters are awesome. Sooner or later, they'll catch up. But you watch time after time, like, boy, these batters can't even get a glimpse of some of these pitchers. They're so amped up. And once again, they know they're only throwing 12 pitches in a half of an inning, so they can go extra gas pedal as opposed to waiting it out and timing it and biding by because they know they got to go 7 innings.
For sure. Absolutely so. And Donnie, as we saw yesterday, it wasn't exactly a batter's ballpark, even for BP in a home run derby. You made the point. I think it's pretty sound. I think we can expect that to be the case for the Midsummer Classic. Looking out for the audience in those hot Texas summers, the roof is going to be mostly closed. The AC is going to be bumping in. Yep. It's not going to be all that humidity and hot air that helps with offensive numbers, at least unless they make a drastic change from the night of when offense should be first and foremost to when we might give a little bit of credit to those arms on the bump. Now let's talk All-Star Game MVP. By no means are we surprised to see Shohei Ohtani as the favorite at 8-1. Plus 950, though, for Aaron Judge. I guess what is a little bit surprising, three of the five best prices from the American League, which would make sense because they are the favorites. If the American League wins, you're not going to see a National League player win the All-Star Game MVP award. At least I would think that is highly unlikely. So Shohei for the underdog, still the favorite at an 8-1 number, full $1.50 in front of Aaron Judge.
Yeah, I guess because you're looking at the starters, right? And you're saying, like, well, oh, people, and granted, the managers understand this as well. You come to the All-Star game, yes, everybody wants to play, but who are the superstars that you want to see get multiple bats? Is anybody going to be happy with this? Like, hey, Ohtani got up, got one at bat, grounded out, you didn't see him again. No, we want to see him for at least two at bats here. So that's why you're taking a look at some of those superstars up there with the highest numbers. Now, number one, that's who the people are going to be bet on. Number two, those guys are unbelievable players, each one of them with legitimate chances to hit home runs, get multiple hits, and multiple RBI. But number two is, you know that you're more likely to get multiple at-bats from those top players than you will a reserve coming in for maybe a pinch hit chance at that point. So MVP makes sense. Like, if Ohtani gets in the first inning, hits a home run, you could probably just end the game and give him the MVP right there regardless of the way it plays out.
Shohei Ohtani, the shortest price at plus 440 to hit a long ball tonight in Arlington. But even that goes to speak about what these pitchers are expected to do. Shohei's number consistently this year, 2-1. Aaron Judge right around that price as well. Judge, 34 home runs, the most in the big. Shohei, the most in the National League. Second most in Major League Baseball with 29. They're not expected to go deep necessarily based on what the regular season performances have to say. William Contreras, plus 870. One of the best catchers in all of Major League Baseball for Milwaukee. The Brewers have multiple starters in that National League lineup with Christian Yelich as well. Gunnar Henderson, bad performance last night, only 11 home runs in the opening round, the least of all eight contestants in the home run derby. Maybe he finds his footing tonight against some more live ball competition and Paul Skeens.
Yeah, and again, the one guy that I'm probably trying to avoid just going head-to-head with, like if you say, Donnie, hey, Corbin Burns on the mound, he's a fantastic pitcher, but I don't know if that dissuades me from taking like a Bryce Harper plus 750 number, but guys like, let's just say, Aaron Judge, who probably come up in the first inning against Skeens, and maybe that's one of their two at-bats, I don't know if there's going to be a home run technically, even though we did see Shohei Ohtani hit a home run off of Paul Skeens a few starts ago. That's the way you play. You're almost looking for the bigger fish to fry, like a Vladimir Guerrero Jr., who you know is going to be swinging from his heels there, probably won't be facing off against Skeens, 9-1 price, something like that.
You're telling me there's no XFIP numbers, no ISO power numbers for an All-Star game that we can use to really quantify our handicaps? That's a number. We'll talk more about Paul Skeens.
Stay away.
Next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's the All-Star Game. It's the Midsummer Classic in Major League Baseball. Let's not take ourselves too seriously. Let's have some fun. Paul Skeens is the highlight of this game, at least to start. The rookie for the Pittsburgh Pirates, the number one overall pick in the 2023 MLB Draft, already an All-Star in his debut campaign in the bigs, already the All-Star starter for the National League. Three up, three down. In the first inning to retire the side, plus 160. Two first-inning strikeouts. How about striking out the side? Three first-inning strikeouts at 10-1. First pitch over 101. First pitch under 99 miles per hour. Listen, it's got the juice at minus 104. If you bet it, you're a narc. You're not fun. I don't want you at a party. I don't want you watching this show. You can watch this show. The numbers have to be good. But first pitch over 101. That's where we go. Hot Texas, even with the AC at Globe Life Field. Let Paul Skeens rip from the very start.
Yes, and it would be fun. And what a highlight it would be if Paul Skeens goes out there and strikes out the first three batters that he does face. You take a look at that. That's a 37-1 price. Three strikeouts in the first inning, which means he could give up three hits and strike three people out, which probably won't happen. That's at a 10-1 price. But I'm in on Paul Skeens. It's also a player that a lot of leagues still hasn't seen just yet. He is going to be amped up, which is going to add extra to that fastball. And I expect it to be a lot of fun. So three up, three down at a plus 160 price. Actually, makes a lot of sense, even though you're going to get great hitters right out of the gate. Yeah. But still, Skeens should be on fire knowing that he is going to be at the absolute height of his powers, knowing he's only got to pitch one inning here.
In the 11 starts that Paul Skeens has made, of course, Skeens Day 1 through 11 in the history of Major League Baseball, 9 against the National League, only 2 against the AL. Obviously, that is not breaking news by any matter of the term, but just the 2 starts against the American League, against Tampa and against Detroit. So the guys in New York, Juan Soto, Aaron Judge, Gunnar Henderson, Stephen Kwan at the top of that lineup that Paul Skeens will more than likely certainly face, they haven't really seen his stuff except like most of us on social media. Paul Skeens coming off the historic start last Thursday in Milwaukee. 7 innings of no hit work and 11 strikeouts. The second start of his 11 in his career on the road of no hit baseball with at least 10 Ks. He is the only player in Major League Baseball history that can say they have made 2 no hit starts on the road with at least 10 strikeouts. He only went 13 total innings in those 2 starts, but still obviously historic and worth noting. If I'm going to sprinkle on the All-Star game, it's going to be on Paul Skeens. How about a Nerfy, DRS, as we look at some of the other props that we will see? We know scoring is often limited. 7 of the last 10 Midsummer Classics, 7 runs or less on the board. Might it be scoreless at the end of one frame tonight? It's minus 145.
Yeah, not a bad thought process behind that, because again, you have you have all-stars all over the place because it's the all-star game. We understand that, but the pitchers usually outduel the hitters here, even though first three batters in each lineup are certainly great three first batters. I just lean towards the pitchers. You're looking at Corbin Burns, maybe the Cy Young on one side, and Paul Skeens, maybe the unheralded Cy Young here from the National League, should be fun to play out. I am interested in the under 7.5, so each one of these pitcher-leaning props here, that's certainly what I'm looking forward to at this point. I don't know if we get a run scored in the first inning, because once again, great pitchers amped up, only needing to pitch 12 or 15 pitches. I don't know. Unless we're getting a solo home run in the first inning, I don't think we score.
The top of the National League lineup, of course, Ketel Marte of the Arizona Diamondbacks, Shohei Ohtani in that two-hole, Trey Turner in that three-hole as well, with Bryce Harper batting cleanup as of right now. We shared what the top of the AL lineup is, but just to remind, Stephen Kwan, Gunnar Henderson, Juan Soto, and Aaron Judge. Now, let me ask you this, just from a numbers perspective, DRS, 10-plus runs in all total, plus 260. Not only the trends, 13 of the last 17 Midsummer Classics, under 7 of the last 10, 7 runs or less. Does it plus 260 seem like too short of a price to see double digits runs scored tonight in Arlington?
It does. It really does. Because, again, we're not going to get the position player pitching in the seventh inning at this point, right? It's going to be hammers after hammers coming out of the bullpen, which is always going to be a tough scene. And also, you take a look at a ballpark. We're not in Fenway tonight, Ben. Hey, you know, it's outdoors. No. It's 86 degrees, wind blowing out, and maybe you can get under it. You're going to be in a nice air-conditioned environment, which is designed to keep those baseballs in the yard tonight. And we'll see. Maybe they'll... And this is the one thing that we don't have to worry about in any other sport. But I wonder if Major League Baseball is going to have the juice baseballs in the All-Star game tonight. That would always be nice. Now, imagine getting that information as a delivery guy. Like, yeah, the juice baseballs are in play tonight. How much fun you can have with that type of knowledge. Once again, the only sport that has ridiculousness where we actually don't get an idea of if they're juice baseballs or not. That's ridiculous.
Do you know any delivery guys in Arlington, Texas, or the greater Fort Worth area that maybe could be transporting the van full of those juice baseballs?
I don't know, but the one thing that Major League Baseball does get the mud that it uses to scuff up the baseballs is from the Rancocas River, which is in Burlington County, New Jersey. So maybe I should do a little bit more hunting around there to see if I can get that inside information.
We say deep dive often, like we're going to break down a game even further. Donnie Wrightside needs to take an actual deep dive of the what river? The Rancocas?
I believe it's the Rancocas River is where they get it. They like to keep it.
Yeah.
Yes. They don't want to have like mud coming from all over the country to scuff it. They want to have it one uniform thing. So they actually put it in the pails, and Major League Baseball exclusively uses that one thing where the referee, I think it's the umpires that used to do it. They probably have people that, you know, just get the baseballs ready to go before the game now. But little interesting tidbit coming from South Jersey here.
Is there like a sign outside of the Rancocas River that says proudly provided the mud?
No, it's almost like a covert operation where nobody's supposed to know where they get it from, which banks, and where they're at this point. That'd be kind of funny to see a guy in a skiff boat out there just loading up like multiple jugs of like mud. You go chase that guy down and get the TMZ on him.
What I meant by deep dive from DRS is literally putting on the scuba gear, going into the Rancocas River today to see how much mud is available on those banks to know if we are mudding up those balls today. You got scuba gear or no?
Shout out Rancocas Valley High School there. No, I don't have scuba gear. No, I do have I don't know, maybe we'll borrow the kids. Yeah, here's the kids' goggles.
All right. We'll give you a best bet on the other side of the break for the All-Star game tonight. Next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Our final segment together here to round out 3 hours on this Tuesday on the early line, but I got to skedaddle in just a couple of minutes because Blues Wire starts at 11 a.m. Eastern time. Mike Blewett up and in, hosting Newswire today live from studio as Craig Mish, who was sitting in the right field bleachers, and with Jose Ramirez batting lefty last night, that had to mean more home run balls for the guy that was bringing his mitt. Zach Hample, Craig Mish battling it out for those home run balls last night at the Home Run Derby.
Yeah, a lot of fun to be had all the way around. I wonder if he did. Did he get close to a baseball last night? I wonder if like anyone like went in the general direction for his side, but he was right on that. You're supposed to, if there's eight batters, let's go four right side, four left side there. What's wrong with that?
Only one right side in my mind, and his name is Donnie. So before I say farewell and before we say goodbye, it's time to give you a best bet for the MLB All-Star game tonight. It is time for Bye Bye Bye. All right, because there's been some confusion in the structure of this final segment in the past, I'm going to give my best bet. I'm going to pass it off to you, DRS. You do whatever you want in the final 3 minutes. I'm going to trust history and the trends tonight. Under 7.5 for the MLB All-Star Game. 7 of the last 10 years have featured 7 runs or fewer in that Midsummer Classic. 13 of the last 17 All-Star Games have stayed under. The long ball, not all that prevalent last night during the Home Run Derby. Maybe it's the roof. Maybe it's the AC. It's not all that hot and humid to have the ball fly out. I trust the pitchers tonight under 7.5. DRS, I'll see you tomorrow at 8 a.m. Eastern Time.
All right. Do we have to say goodbye to you? Do we have to give you like a soliloquy here?
No,
just
pass it
dropping
off.
Out?
Pass
like,
it off. Don't take
right,
a jukebox.
So yep. There we go. So we're ready to go. All right. So let me have this little bit of space here. Best bet tonight. And again, if there is a best bet on the All-Star game, it's always going to be Paul Skeen-centric for me. Three up, three down in the first inning at a plus 160 price. That's where I'm going. Now, many of you did watch the Major League Baseball Home Run Derby yesterday, and that's where I want to go. Now, most people know, if they've watched the early line for the past couple months, your boy DRS got some pipes here, and he can sing like, ooh-hoo-hoo. You say, well, why is Donnie Wrightside singing here to end this episode? Simple fact, did you watch the All-Star game yesterday for Home Run Derby and Ingrid Andress with that national anthem? You have got to be kidding me here. So we always like checks and balances. How does this happen at a major sporting event? Because quite frankly, 98% of the time, we have really, really good anthem singers. So I'm asking this question now. We saw Carl Lewis in the past have a terrible one. I believe it was at a Nets game. We saw Roseanne Barr have a terrible one here. Those are almost on purpose. I don't think last night that one was on purpose. So I ask the question. Sometimes you can have a bad plate appearance at night. Like, hey, man, just wasn't my night. 0 for 3, 3 strikeouts, didn't get it done. A quarterback can have an off performance throwing passes from the pocket. Like, hey, man, that guy's usually really good. My question is, did Ingrid Andress have a bad performance? Was that indicative of that's the way she does sing? And all sometimes we always want to have a redo with some things we do. Should we bring back Ingrid Andress tonight to sing the All-Star Game national anthem before it starts as a redeeming quality? So I thought that was interesting yesterday. And also, if you want me to be the commissioner of sports here, and it always starts with All-Star Games, here's what we need to do. Yesterday in a Home Run Derby, right? You saw the players wearing their individual jerseys. We need to get back to that in sports here, where each and every one, like the home team in the All-Star game, they wear their home jerseys individually so you can see which teams they're on. And I think it sticks out more kindly as opposed to an American League uniform and a National League uniform. We just got to get back to some things that the fans certainly would enjoy. Now, granted, everybody's going to say, well, hey, the jersey sales for the All-Star game have to improve. So that's why you make different jerseys up. They still used to wear those warm-up jerseys and the practice jerseys there all around the All-Star game before they actually put on their uniforms home and away at that point. I just like to see that happen at that point. But the All-Star game tonight is going to be underway, and we are so close, people. Why? Because once that's over, Wednesday is hump day here. It's usually tough to say we can get to Friday. There's a ton of Major League Baseball. There's not a lot going on Wednesday or Thursday. But once we get to Friday and you can see the light at the end of the tunnel and the Major League Baseball season is back underway and just about every single team is going to be in camp, what a time it's going to be. And I can't wait to see that happen. And some people might be looking forward to the WNBA All-Star game, which is going to take place on Saturday. But the second half of the Major League Baseball season is going to be exciting. And also keep in mind some of those important dates. The end of the month, we're going to have the trade deadline here. Teams are going to make up their final rosters as they get ready to try to win a World Series. It's a good time right now. The All-Star game's tonight. Hopefully we cash in some tickets and away we go. That'll do it for today's early line episode on a Tuesday. We'll be back on Wednesday. Both myself and Ben Stevens. Enjoy the game tonight. Good luck on those wagers.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk. Breathe, rechalk, still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
The Sherwin-Williams Summer Sale is here. Get 30% off select paints and stains or 35% off our newest product, Emerald Symmetry, July 17th through the 27th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.